Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?
Sarah Colonna, it's decision day.
Mary Redzinski, my mayor bear. Hello. Hello, listeners. Are we okay? I feel like I need this to be interactive in some way. I feel like I wish everyone could just talk to us
there
right now.
There should be a hotline. There should be a live hotline for this shit. That's what we should have done. Could we figure that out for some time? That would be amazing.
Some kind of hotline. Can we, like, remember I told you this story about how I used to call the general hospital hotline and it really yeah. racked up my stepmom's phone bill way back in the day. I wonder mm-hmm. if we could mm-hmm. do some, listen, podcasts, it's a tough business. So if we come up with a 900 number for people.
Yeah, I'll show you my feet and I'll tell you how I'm feeling. I'll ask how you're feeling. We'll cover all our bases. Are you shitting me?
Like a phone in OnlyFans. Yeah, that was, I feel a lot of things right now.
I do too. One of them is embarrassment. And I'll tell you why. I mean, just in general, I think as a lady of a certain age, I've spent a lot of time on this show. And I feel like I've spent my whole life getting to today's decision day. Like I had more apprehension than Claire seemed to have. And I don't know if that's good, you know, for my overall mental health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. I know it's obviously we still have one more to go with Michael and Chloe. They're our last hope. And mm-hmm. we're going to have a lot of fun today because I also have remember we had our original predictions and then we did December. At the end of December, we'd be mid-season predictions. Pretty much dead on, by the way. It's not going to be that exciting, but they're funny. and also I'll do our first prediction, our mid-season prediction, and just for fun, we'll go through those today for you guys. And then of course we go over to Patreon and we keep going with bonus content. This past week, we also had an extra bonus episode with the really funny ladies from Little Miss Recap, and Steph said Cameron's his ticka. His bad ticka or whatever was like the funniest thing. I can never do it any justice, but we had so much fun with them. And then you also get a Sunday episode. All of that is for $7 and Sunday is not Married at First Sight related. Do you have questions about what happens when this show ends? Obviously there's still three more episodes and two reunions to do. However, we understand that some of you taper off after this episode. We understand that some of you and the episodes get a little, you know, there's like not as much juice because we're just kind of waiting to see Michael and Chloe's decision day, which is now, I think maybe in 3 weeks or 2 weeks. I don't know. So just know that we are going to keep doing this, but we're also going to add to it. So we would like you to stay. If you came here for Married at First Sight, stay with us. We are going to next week. We are going to discuss our thoughts on the Love is Blind weddings, along with the Married at First Sight first post-decision day episode 21. So it's going to be jam-packed. We're going to be adding content, and then we're going to pick another show to do for the rest of, we're going to pick another fun show, something you guys would all be interested in. So we want to keep it going, and we want you to stay with us because it helps us be able to do next season and every other season and all the other shit that we want to do. So we will keep going. And we will keep adding to content. So please just tune in every week and you promise to hear something fun and probably we're going to find another dumb show to cover.
And by probably, we mean most definitely, if not more than one. We will figure it out. We will make it fun. And I just have to add, I know our bonus Patreon episode that aired on Monday, I, at the time, hadn't seen much of Love is Blind, and I don't necessarily want to talk about how many days have been in between now and then, but I am fully caught up and a monster, like binged the shit out of that show and cannot wait to see the weddings, cannot wait to talk about it with you.
I know. I know they're obviously, that happened, those are airing well, we're recording Wednesday, so they're airing today, but we didn't have time, obviously, with decision day. So we'll be discussing.
My brain's not big enough. Are you kidding me? I would be crying and shitting at the same time. I wouldn't even know what to do with all that emotion.
And possibly divorced for ourselves, because our significant others would be like, can you do something else? So we will talk about all that on next week's episode, along with the next episode of Married at First Sight. And our clip shows, we're doing clip shows for them. We're going to record clip shows for them, and they're going to air May 1st, Wednesday, May 1st. So put that in your calendar. I know it sounds far away, but it's not that far away, and they're going to be super fun. They let us really do some fun stuff.
Yes.
You know, we've been in the process of writing them and stuff. Obviously, we can't really finish it until everything airs, but when we do have it finished and get to film them May 1st, you will see us, our lovely faces on TV. Just play it in the background and listen to our voices and go to sleep. Oh. Get us some nice ratings.
Yeah, please help us with the ratings. You'll hear a lifetime level of appropriate snark. I think we're planning on that with what we're putting together. We're still us. I mean,
yeah,
you know, can't say full penny, I don't think, but we're still us.
Mary, can I play something for you?
Yes, please.
Oh.
All the things. Now
I
see you were
scared of losing everything. I mean, I don't know if you recognize that, but that's what they played at the end of this episode when Becca reversed her decision. Oh good. I thought we're gonna make it last forever. All good things. And I Shazammed the shit out of that song because it's so emo.
Oh.
And I just was like, that's a song I would have curled up and cried at, like, about my high school boyfriend, Bucky, too. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving a little Sinead. At that moment with that song, I just wanted to run and skid my knees on pavement and then just see how I ended up and stay there.
All good things must come to an end. It was so dramatic. And Shazam picked it right up. This lovely lady named Nick Onmar seems to be the person that sang it. And the album says something about emo. I can't read the rest of it because Shazam decided not to give me any more of it for free. So anyway, that was a lovely one. There was a lot of big hits this episode. I don't know if you noticed when Cameron walked up and they went back on their flashbacks, they literally played like a One Direction type song that went, "My heart skipped a beat when I saw you." And I thought, oh my God, they're fucking with us.
Like, a little on the nose. Yeah.
I felt so trolled by that song. I know that I'm not important enough for them to make those songs about me, but that one felt like they went, oh, that Sarah bitch will have a field day with this one.
And oh, yeah. I have a feeling you're creeping into their thoughts, because this is, it's a strong soundtrack season. Not a lot of happy songs, but a strong, stormy soundtrack. And they know you're listening.
Yeah, tough for the happiness end. I want to go over. Should we read our predictions first? Just because, should we tell the predictions that we had based on nothing of like the matchmaking special, and then our mid-season predictions and where we ended up?
Yeah, I mean, only because I literally have no idea. I mean, I'm sure I wasn't hopeful ever. I have never really been a hopeful person, but yes, please.
Also, just real quick, if you're in Batavia, Illinois, April 4th through 6th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Vault. If you're in Tulsa, I'll be at the Bricktown Comedy Club, April 19th and 20th. If you're in Fort Worth, I'll be at Hyenas in Fort Worth, April 25th and 26th. There's a lot more dates after that, including Mary and I together in Louisville at the Louisville Comedy Club in June. All the dates are on sarahcolonna.com.
Hi. Hi. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so our first prediction on Emily and Brennan were no's. That was off of nothing. And I'm surprised by that, actually, looking back. But now, I mean, we were right. And then our mid-season predictions were obviously, that was in December and shit had hit the fan. So it was a real no based on actual facts that we were seeing. So
I would like to add that I believe our no's were based on Emily and her blurred asshole. Or right. Maybe we even hadn't seen it at that point. But the life of the party, the whole thing, I thought she was going to be an absolute drunken yet very fun train wreck and that it wasn't going to work out. And so even though we got it right, I don't think our reasoning was in line.
I agree with you. You're right. It was because they were kind of selling her as a party girl, and it turns out she's super fun, positive. Fuck you, Brennan. And and actually tried really hard, and I think grew up not that I don't know her before, so I can't say grown up, but like she just went through a lot, obviously, as we saw, even the experts were. Boy, does Pia dislike Brennan. And boy, is it entertaining. Okay, we obviously, Lauren and Orion, there was no mid-season prediction because that had already fallen apart. At the beginning, Mary had said yes, and I had said no, they were going to be in a friend zone. And we were both wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I mean, she gave him a little friendship bracelet, friendship sort of opening at the end of this episode, but we'll see. And then for Becca and Austin, at the very beginning, I said yes, and you said, I don't give a shit.
I really am an asshole, aren't I? For someone who lives and breathes this show, you think I could have come up with something.
I don't know why. In fact, I hadn't looked ahead, by the way, when I got this out just now, and boy, did that make me laugh. and I had said yes, and then mid-season, you said yes. So you decided to give a shit. I think you probably still didn't give a shit, but you felt like you needed to have an answer. Mm-hmm. So we both said yes, so we were right for part of this episode.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably how the experts have to count it too, so that they don't go home and drive off a bridge on the way home.
Oh, there was a lot of Cal saying, you know how we really spend days and months and months on this process. But you could tell he was like, please people believe that we try.
Yeah.
Claire and Cameron, we both said no at the beginning. And obviously, we both said no mid-December or at the end of December, because by then he had a broken ticka, as Steph from Little Miss Recap said, and they were no longer living together. At the beginning of Michael, we said, what did we go off of? Oh, we said part one. Does he get a second match? I don't know. Who cares what we said at the beginning? Because I can't understand my writing on that, to be honest with you. But we said for Michael and Chloe, our prediction in mid-season December, and I still think that wasn't based on much because I don't know that we had really seen that much of them by then, right?
No. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I'm sure we don't base much on anything, but yeah.
Yeah, we both said yes. So you guys are our last hope. No pressure.
Oh God. I mean. I know we say like, oh, we're looking forward to their decision day. I guess I am. I more just don't even want to know. I'd rather not know than be disappointed, honestly.
Well, the previews looked interesting. It looks like, I think they probably already let us know that they boned, right? They kind of, yeah. I think they just said that right in the preview.
Penelope and then, for sure got laid.
Oh my God. So speaking of, remember we were trying to figure out because neither of us understood what the earbuds are for.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then someone explained and basically they said they Googled it and they suggested that we never do unless we want to run over our computer with our car afterwards. And that it can moan, like there's moaning sounds like you're with someone. So if you're using it on your own, there can be Penelope will moan at you.
Oh, huh.
Oh, look at you. You look interested.
Well, I don't know how I'm literally speechless. Well, I was trying to think like, that's kind of creepy, right? I mean, I don't know. Would you find that to be something that would add to your experience? That scares the shit out of me.
I think it would, I don't think I would like it, but I think, listen, to everyone likes what they like. I would like to know who does the voiceover. I would like to know what that job's like. The person
I'd like
that
to
has
know what
record.
That pays. You got a nice sultry voice there, Coda. That might be, you know, a little moonlighting gig for you.
Listen, don't threaten me with a good time because I'll take it. Should we just, I guess we should get into breaking it all down.
Well, to, breaking them all
Becca,
up.
Yeah, breaking them all up.
Yeah.
I mean, Becca and Austin, it's so that I don't even know really what to say other than what the fuck.
Well,
sorry. I'm not going to try to not say too many F-bombs today, but that was, that was my first one.
Listen, I think that, well, first off, I just want to say Pepper looked like a little red gift wrapped up in a bow that I wanted to take home with me. That aside, I'm surprised that the state that she was in when she showed up to Decision 8, I'm surprised she said yes to be Austin, Freudian slip. And I think Austin was too.
Yes. He actually went, yeah. And she said, yeah. And then he went, okay. I know she was very, I felt like this was the first time I felt like she really expressed the disappointment of what she did in the last couple episodes too, of now she's finally trying to say, look, I don't think it's the same on camera or off. I don't even think it's on purpose. I don't think that you clock or punching into work and then punching out and leaving me alone, but you're just more aware. And that makes sense to me. I can see that, right?
Right.
I can totally, of course, and even said, of course, people are worried about how they come across on TV. Of course they are. And I get that. But the problem is if you're so different, then how can the person trust that you're going to be, you're not just going to be just as cold when the cameras do go away, which by the way, turned out completely to be what happened. I mean, I don't necessarily know if he was cold, but he made a real dumb mistake or move or not a mistake. I mean, it was intentional. So I don't know. We'll get into that. But I was surprised too that she said yes. And I feel like the fact that they went home separately.
Yeah.
And so they didn't even go back to a place and just, I don't know, cuddle real hard for the night or anything. And I do think she was given, because even he was, after their decision, he said, you don't really seem that happy about it. I don't. And she basically said, look, it's kind of a reset. God, I hate that word now. But basically, she said that. And she said, I haven't been happy and I'm hoping I can be and I'm hoping it's with you, but I need to get back to that place. So I don't know who decided that they needed to go home separately. I'm going to guess her, right?
Yeah, I would assume. I mean, I think Austin, he just comes off like he wants to go to the bar, which I probably would after decision day too. So yeah, I feel like that was probably the case. I thought it was funny how, I mean, Kale felt a little car salesman-y to me, like with it, just trying to get any of them just like, kind of like, hey, well, when the optics are gone, that's when you find those deep, authentic, connecting moments, you know? I'm going to get you to drive this marriage off the lot today, boys. I mean, it was like, he was trying so hard. And I think, honestly, I think Becca kind of, I mean, that's the bottom line. This is what I don't understand about this show. Like, they can still get a divorce. Look, they basically got a divorce or separated the day after decision day. I mean, just say yes and see how the next 24 hours are. I mean, what's wrong with that? Why would you not give it a shot when the cameras are gone?
Well, but I guess I thought they were going to get a longer shot, and the first chance he had, he went out, acted shady about it all. It doesn't matter if he invited this producer. It doesn't matter if they just ran into her. The fact that he acted so shifty about it when she asked and then was basically like, you're putting me in a weird position. Why? Or, I mean, if this producer wasn't supposed to be there, then that's on her, right? I mean, or him, right. But I'm assuming it was a girl based on the way the conversation went. So, I don't know. It just seems like I didn't feel like even when I felt the way he did at the end, that she wasn't really sure why she said yes. And I think you're right. I think maybe they talked her into it a little bit, or she also had a little bit of hope, because Dr. Pepper did the same thing. She basically said, they, you know, the answers have to be found outside of this process. I mean, they were like, give us a W.
Yes,
give us
please.
W. I mean, yes. We have two couples that are already apart. One for sure isn't even showing up today. They don't even need to, obviously. Like, they're not going to put Lauren through that. That was divorced. They already had a divorce. Claire and Cameron, I mean, we all pretty much knew that was where that was going. And Emily and Brenda, we for sure knew where that was going. So I think they were just, I mean, Pep might have slipped them a 50 each or something and said,
she set up a bar tab, you know, for Austin and told Becca, yeah, hey, I can get him out of your hair the next few hours. I mean, honestly, now that I'm seeing, in the fact that the other girls were out after, leads me to believe Becca just wanted to go home.
Yeah, I think, look, she was very emotional, and obviously we know why, and obviously she was really struggling with how she felt. In fact, there was something that she said this episode, and I tried to write it down. Obviously, we're, you know, flying through this, but she said it was, because there's been so much about, oh, is she begging for sex, or why is she begging for sex? And it's like, no, we've been like, no, it doesn't seem like she's begging for sex. It seems more she's begging for more intimacy and a connection. And so she finally said something this episode. She said, it's hard to feel connected to him due to their different approaches in intimacy. And to me, that was, I don't know, it's almost like a light bulb went off for me. I went, oh, that's such a good way to put it. It's not the full penny or no penny, or
right.
We're so different in our approaches to intimacy that I feel completely disconnected, and she can't get out of that. Right. And there's not much he can do about certain parts of that for sure. He can definitely not go out with the guys and the producer, and I don't even just go home just for, and just text her while you're home and just say, I'm thinking about you. I'm glad you said yes today. I know you need your space right now. Here, if you want to cuddle, whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah. I do find it. It's so clearly Becca was upset because Emily and Claire let her know that he was out with a group and the producer was there, whatever the case may be. But also, I would just be pissed if he didn't come home with me. I mean, it wouldn't take anything. He could have gone home to his own apartment with his, you know, played fucking shuffleboard with his roommate. I would have been like, well, what are you doing? We literally have done this TV show, this experience. We finally got the decision day, and you're not going to like come, you know, have tacos and watch Netflix with me. Like, what are we doing? Like, that alone would have made me nuts.
I know. I kind of feel like that was probably her decision. That's my guess. I think she didn't want him to come home with her. That, because I think if she would have said, all right, let's go. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think she would have said, even probably in this episode, right? She probably would have said, I asked you to come over home with me, and this is what you did instead.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I agree. It was just a bad, again, of course they all want to go out and get bombed. They're quote unquote done with filming, even though they're not, but it's the decision day has happened. This is, let's all go out, release some steam. But when she's not going and you guys are basically just in a real fragile state, the decision-making process of, I mean, was he supposed to run out the door when the producer came in if they didn't really tell this person where they were going to be? But I don't know. I feel like there was a communication for this person to end up at the same place they all did. There had to have been.
And the fact that Becca said something during the group thing at the end, inferring that his friendship with this producer has been something, right? Like she said, like, did you do this to get married to me, or did you do this to have a friendship with a producer? So he knew, we all know, like, maybe not my current relationship, but years past, there was always somebody that got on some, like, your partner's nerves, or they didn't like when they were around, or there was something shady, whether, you know, he knew it was, well, that's why he blatantly lied and looked like he got caught with his dick in his hands in front of everyone when she asked him.
I know. It made me so uncomfortable for him to go, no, I don't know. I don't know, Becca. I don't know. It just felt like a child, and it made her seem like a scolding mother. And that's not, she doesn't need to be put in that position.
No.
He went out. He knows they're both showing up there today. He was even saying, where's Becca? I mean, you guys haven't talked. You just said yes. So I don't know. Maybe you think you're giving her space, but maybe you should have checked in with her. Or maybe if this is already a big problem and you know everyone sees you, hey, how about get ahead of it? How about, hey, I'm at the bar with the guys. So-and-so just walked in. I just want you to know. And then deal with it from there. But to right. not to to just sort of sit there and act like, and not answer the question. And it just made it seem worse and worse.
Yeah. I mean, they are so disconnected, to your point, like all of that, that there was no communication from him. But then also he's walking into that group setting like whistling Dixie. He was in a great mood. He's like, man, had a ball last night. Where's Becca? I mean, no idea that his life was about to literally implode. And like, it was like,
we're going to ride off into the sunset. Yeah, he's said like, at one point,
hair of the dog, crack me open a cold one. Like he was just having a nice Sunday or whatever the fucking day it was. And then, I mean, the fact that he had no clue that a storm was brewing, I mean, just tells you how far apart they are.
Oh, I was so clenched. He did the Austin thing that he does when he's real uncomfortable. When she said, was the producer there? And I don't know, Becca. I don't know. And then she goes, well, do you remember? And he goes, are you mad at me right now? So you mad at me or something? Or anytime he gets,
oh my God,
do you want to talk about this right now?
Because nuts were in a chip clip.
Yeah, it was not good. And you know, you could tell, because we could say everyone was emotional, right? And this is, they've all had a hell of a season. They've all been through it. So these women were, I'm feeling emotional. And then what did he say? Basically called her emotional, and they were like, it was a bad thing. And boy, did they pipe up and say that you guys all fucking, all say that, act like that's a bad thing, blah, blah, blah. And for some reason, when Lauren speaks up in those situations, and I'm not saying that I don't listen to all of them, I truly do, but Lauren has been now so removed from the process of it, if that makes sense. So she's a little bit less heated coming into things. So when she gets frustrated like that, I sit up. I go, oh, these people are tired of this. They're sick of this, right? Like these women are sick of being called emotion or sick of that. Because they all were not having that.
Oh yeah. It was, you know, it's been game over. They've all called time of death, I think, a long time ago. And yeah, I like not only is Lauren not as heated anymore, because I mean, Orion was such a fucking zero from so early on. She's had a little bit of time to heal. But also, I don't feel as though maybe she's involved with the tub time and all the inner workings of what's going on. So she's actually seeing this as someone who understands it, but isn't, it's not like incestuous yet, you know? So I agree. I feel like it really, she's always poignant when she speaks.
Yeah, because she basically said, look, he said, you admitted to being sensitive. And I think it was Lauren, the first person that popped up and was like, that's not a bad thing. And you guys all seem to act like that's a bad thing, blah, blah, blah. And she, and I mean, Becca has been upset during times, but she's certainly been patient with, I mean, no, I don't know if I should say patient, but she's been trying and she's been expressing herself, and it's been too much for him because they're just a bad match.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. But and I don't think we've seen her. She's been super emotional the past few episodes again, which is not a bad thing, but just because I think she has been seeing that this is crashing and burning and she had such high hopes for it. So who wouldn't? And then he just is like, whatever. Glad you said yes. You seem kind of bummed about it. Hope you can roast those marshies in hell. Gonna go get drunk with the producer. I mean, it's just like so frustrating. He seems like such a nice guy and he was just so not ready for this process. So that's the hardest part is she didn't get it seemed at the beginning, as we all thought they had, well, you didn't give a shit at the beginning, but we all thought they had this chance and they, even the experts were talking about how they came off so cute and all this, and they had affection for each other and they just had all this stuff in common. And then his level of what she needs, and that's not, it's not his fault, but, it just sucks for her and it sucks for him too, but it really sucks for her because I just don't think she got someone that she was going to and get to have a fair shot with.
Yeah, no, I agree. I did when she did say that to him, I think she said something like, I've been calm, cool and collected this whole time. And that's when I think he was like, what? Which in his brain, I could see him being like, wait a second, I remember being violently uncomfortable a bunch of times when you were upset with me, you know, so I can see how he might not see it that way. But given the circumstance, she held her shit together very, very well. And then flip side, yeah, it's not his fault. He's not enough for her. He's not a match for her, which means he will never be enough in that situation. And that feels like shit too. You know, to be put in a losing situation. And again, it goes back to the matchmaking.
And she even said at the end, I think he's going to be a great match for somebody. I think that person's just not me. And I think she even knew that when she said yes, to be fair. And they probably should have just done it then. But I think even though he disappointed her that night going out with a producer who obviously has been an issue for them. We didn't hear about it before. Need some missing footage as usual. But I think even though he let her down in that way, she knows he's not a bad person. He just can't be what she needs. And it's just, that was a tough one. I mean,
that was the most depressing post decision day sort of chat. Like she looked like she was on the verge of tears. He says he's like, well, you don't seem that happy. And she's like, I'm anxious. I mean, I think back to like when Clint and Gina broke up, what were they in Nashville? And he grabbed the bottle of champagne. He was like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Starting a new chapter, new Clint, who dis? But that, like, they didn't get to do that. And it still feels like it's just going to be sad. I feel like the next few episodes, even though we're not used to them being, like, super juicy, I'm curious to see what goes on. Maybe they'll reconcile. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's possible because, I mean, he said he felt blindsided. He didn't seem to grasp the gravity of what she was upset about. I will say, just back to the emotional thing.
He couldn't grasp the gravity of heaven and hell. How the fuck is he going to grasp the gravity of this situation?
Right. True. I think I feel like with the emotional thing and the reason the girls all perked up during that, it feels a little bit like Austin might be one of those, well, what are you on the rag or something? A little bit that guy, right? I think he might be a little that guy. And I hate that term. I'm just saying it because that's what it reminds me of a kind of a younger guy who would just attribute any sort of emotional swell to somebody having their period. That's what it all felt like to me right there. And it felt like they all went, no, no, no.
I just want to say, I think anybody who ever said that to me was wearing a backwards hat. So, you know, you might be, I think I understand.
Might be onto something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about Claire and Cameron next because the Emily and Brennan thing is going to go on for, I mean, we're going to have so much to say. We're definitely going to have to take that over to Patreon because otherwise we'll be here for 4 hours. And just like we said, don't forget, we go over there and we still have a lot to do here, but we go over there. It's only $7 a month. There's so much content. So Claire and Cameron, also a weird after, because they kind of had a nice amicable, I would almost compare it to Kristen and Mitch a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of a mutual thing.
I mean, I just have so many thoughts and none of them make sense. None of them are like collective where I have a one opinion. I will say Claire wrapped up the whole thing with the experts like it was a job interview. Like, thank you for your time. This is great. Just want to thank you guys so much for having us. It was just like, it felt, and then I know she did get upset in it. And I'm spewing everything right now because that's the one that's really stuck with me the most. And then Cameron, I just don't feel like I trust him. And I don't know why. And I think I thought that about Claire at one time, but I'm curious your thoughts and I will shut up right now.
I do not trust either of them now. When the producer showed it when he said she's texting me right now saying don't spill my secrets. And then she was sitting there on the phone and she was texting. I don't know if they were just messing with us, but why would, it was, none of that made any sense. First of all, the way they both just talked about how they have conversations and then have a completely different recollection of them, but are both admitting to it is very strange to me.
It feels like total horse shit.
Yeah. And then, and he was saying, now, could he be lying through his teeth when she says that, when he said that she told him not to say certain things on camera and that he's been quote unquote protecting her because he was asked to versus Brennan doing it out of his own bold crap white knight thing. But they're back and forth, honestly. I almost just got up and left my house, called an Uber, and then told John, like, I don't know, just drove tell around me when it's over. Bit. Yeah, just tell me when it's over, and I'll come back because I had no idea what was going on. And so now I feel like they were both full of it almost the whole time.
Either they are both the two most polite and cordial people that have ever walked this earth. And it even came out like basically they were just trying to make the other one look good. And that was, you know, but the whole thing with even him saying like when he was sick and he declared, and I know, you know, I wish I could do that voice, damn it. But you know, you're so empathetic and I know you just wanted to help me, but I was so weak. I couldn't receive your help. I'm going to be like, I'm going to fucking puke right now. Like, shut up. You turned your ringer off. You didn't want to talk to her. Like, be honest. This is some soap opera shit. And yeah, he was too weak to accept it. Yuck.
I agree with you. All of that felt like it was full of it. And, you know, you're just a wonderful person. And I just, and maybe I was, he was, a fear of impending rejection is something he said to the experts. And he was doing that. I mean, we saw him do that when he said, look, if there's a 0% chance this works, I'm out now because it's just heartbreak. If there's a little chance, then I'll stay because it's not. So he was always looking for impending rejection, but the back and forth about whether or not how he offended her when he said the slender thing. And then she took it cause she's not slender. And of course, I mean, I don't want to say slender or not about somebody. She has a lovely body and she, you know, but she said that she has body image issues in the past. And so I get all of that. And just a word used for your body, it set her off. And he kept trying to convince her, I'm saying I'm attracted to you. But then in her mind, it wasn't the right time, whatever. But she even said, well, that was kind of on her. But then she didn't. Here's where I just thought, I don't know. Have they been both talking about how they wanted to, because they even said to the experts, right? We didn't tell you some things because we both didn't want the other person to look bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So is this it for this show? Is anyone ever going to be honest on camera?
I know.
Ever again, besides Emily and Becca and Lauren. But there was a moment, and I don't know if you saw it, but they started getting into the thing about the double date. And Cameron said, well, I actually brought it up. And then I was being silenced. We had conversations in secrecy. She didn't want people to hear. And that was weird when he said she didn't want me to tell all her secrets. I'm like, what secrets? And then, but there was one point when they started kind of going, and he said, I was protecting her for every day. And Emily loses it. We don't need protection, Claire. And then he's like, no, Claire asked for the protection. Brennan jumps in. This is obviously at the end, not during the decision. Brennan jumps in at the end. He says, how about we just don't blame anyone? And they cut to Claire, and she looks at Cameron, and she goes, Cameron, no. And she shook her head.
Oh.
Yeah. I rewound it like 3 times.
Oh. Interesting. What did it feel like she was saying?
Stop talking.
Oh, just like literally, did it have anything to do with Brennan or just Cameron?
I think it had to do with don't say any more about what I've been asking you to stop it. I've been don't rat me out. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It wasn't Cameron, you're full of it. Like it was Cameron, no, stop.
Like, it's like stop almost it. Yeah.
Stop saying, yeah, stop now. We agreed on this. That's what it felt like. And maybe it's just because I bought into the whole thing. And I'm not saying I think Cameron's telling the truth either. I just think they both made some sort of pact with each other and it completely imploded. And I can't see what's up and what's down at this point.
Yeah. I think I agree with you even more just talking this out right now, because she's also, you know, like the term, like she feels a little bit like the busybody of the group. Like she's kind of up, like she knows what, you know, tub time and hey, what's going on and going, you know, it's like, she seems very involved and in a, you know, as a friend, I think she's, you know, sincerely interested, but
oh, yeah.
Also there's no way that she's not 100% trying to, you know, control the narrative. I don't know. She just, it feels like that a little bit. And especially if they made this pact, because I was trying to think, what were her potential secrets? That whole, like, she told me not to tell her secrets. I was thinking to myself, is it something kind of benign, like she doesn't want him to tell any, you know, to mention that she has body image issues or something like that, where I could kind of get behind, like, don't let out all my insecurities, or I'm telling you this in confidence, or something like that. But I don't know. I'll be honest.
I feel like they just called time. I think at one point she goes, look, this isn't going to work, but let's just, so it's not that I think she was being manipulative. I think that she almost just went, look, this isn't going to work off camera. Okay. This is just my theory. I have no proof of it, but I think she just off camera said to him, this isn't going to work. Okay. I don't see this working. So, but I think we should play the process out, and I respect you. I think you're a cool guy. I think you're a great guy. I want to be your friend, and let's just come out of this looking as good as we can. I mean, I think it could have been as simple as that. And then he blew it up to what he's blowing it up to because he's spiraling in this episode. I don't know. I mean, I need them to be interrogated by the FBI
or by you and I.
Or by us.
Did it cross your mind at all? Were you curious at all? Why did Claire and Cameron even have to go to decision day? I understand that Orion and Lauren had their formal sit down with the experts and they said, I want to get a divorce. Okay, boom. Yeah, they still carried on through the season. But Claire and Cameron basically did that in a semi-formal way with the group and said, we both want to get separated. And it was cute at a dinner. He left. We never see him again. He's having health issues. Why? What? Why? All I can think of. And then going back to Pia and the experts going, how come you guys never involved us in all these issues you're having? How come? It's almost like a kid like not showing up to school and the truant officer, nobody checked in on him. Like they never had to communicate with the experts. And then I just think was it because they didn't have enough people to go to decision day? Because it would have been
definitely a
20-minute episode or something. Because honestly, there was no there was never a moment where you were like, what's going to happen? You know, white knuckling it, thinking that they both weren't going to say nearer. I mean, of course they were.
Right. Well, I think probably yes, they needed a couple more people for decision day. And I think B, maybe that it was something that since they had quote unquote separated, maybe they wanted, because we haven't really seen Cameron, maybe they just, this is the one chance for us as the audience and for the experts to sort of hear what went on, even though we saw the breakdown, we saw when he left, we saw why he left.
Yeah.
So for them, I'm telling you now, my new theory is it. I don't even think it was meant in a manipulative way, but I think he has decided that's what it was. That's why I think they agreed to disagree on a lot of things, that we don't see things the same way. That's why I remember conversations differently. And I think she was like, look, let's just be cool. Let's just be cordial. Let's come out of this both looking good and let's call it a day and be friends. And in his brain, that was her manipulating him. And it's her, in his brain, that's her asking him to keep secrets. And
that makes a lot of sense, Sarah.
That's what I'm coming up with as I go. And I think that is why when they talk, it sounds like they're both full of shit. Right?
Yeah, because they haven't practiced the lines.
Yeah, because they're basically just, they're over complimenting each other sitting there, to where you go, but you just said you guys haven't even talked since his heart exploded or whatever. And then now you're talking about how she's such a good person for checking in on you. And she's talking about how she just wanted to be there for you. And really, you probably just didn't want to have anything to do with each other. And you were like, let's just get through this unscathed. Okay. Let's just get through this with the fewest shitty comments there can be. And then that's why they both sound like they're insane.
Best but mostly plans. Him. Yeah. I mean, not good at all. I wish that I could have done a prediction last week and said, I don't give a shit about them, because that's what I would have said. Oh, yeah. God.
I just, I'm real interested to see. And so now that would explain kind of her saying Cam, like, shush, basically saying, look, we agreed to just sort of, you know, get out of this and as politely as possible. And now you're throwing crap all over it. You're ruining it by, now you're starting to scream about it and spiral, and now you're going to make me look bad and not whatever. That's all I can come up with. I mean, if you guys have your theories, please go to Are You My Podcast on Instagram and DM them all to me, because I don't know what's happening. And maybe Claire can come over and just, we'll crack a bottle of wine and she'll just break it down for me. I got flight miles. I'll pay for a plane ticket for her to come here.
Will you pay for one for me too? Because I don't want to miss that.
Yeah, I'm actually taking that back. She seems like she can afford her own plane ticket. So I would just like to, maybe I'll go there.
So are you you're not going to pay for my flight to come have wine with you?
No, again? You have plenty of miles too.
Yeah, that is true. All I know is I'm going to be spending all of my time and money gathering up probably boxed wine, some seltzers, some Ben and Jerry's, because what is this reunion going to look like? Like, I know we have episodes in between, which again, I think we're going to pull some nuggets of fun from those, but this reunion is going to be like, this is when they peel the curtain back, and I'm dying to see if they, like, I don't know.
Because, well, the next three episodes, I mean, if we see more of this, a wedding, a breakup happened right after a decision day at the end of this episode, we got two more of those kind of things to happen. So we might learn more about this, especially since Claire and Cam started kind of going at it. So maybe there'll be some more answers. But yeah, I'm just going to stand by my theory. They both just were like, let's just get out of this. And we don't have it. We don't hate each other. We don't have a reason to. So let's get out of this as unscathed as possible. And she probably was kind of leading the charge on that, and not in a bad, just sort of like, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. And he was like, whatever. I can't even stand up without getting lightheaded. So that's cool with me. And then he decided he didn't like that narrative when this all happened, something like that. Anyway, Emily and Brennan.
This guy.
I mean, I love that he was worried. She's really worried about her, you know, being aggressive because, you know, I just want to end this thing peacefully and just move on, you know, peace, yeah. You know,
Mother Teresa, peace. This fucking guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
the flashbacks to the wedding and honeymoon were almost like made me mad all over again because to Emily's point, something happened. There was a major line drawn when he just turned into, when he was just like, nope, not doing it. And because the flashbacks to the wedding and the honeymoon, he was so into her.
I know. He was. And here's another one that made no sense on the couch, talking about how he was trying to protect her. And I mean, Dr. Pepper at one point said, are you suggesting that you have something that you would say about her would be detrimental? And he said, yeah. And so here's what I think. I people are going to have their theories and they're going to decide she, I don't know, let loose a poot or something in bed and it turned him off. Even if they, whatever people, I don't know what people are going to come up with. I just can't think of anything right now, but people are going to come up with something.
Please never say the word poot.
It's so much better. I love it.
Is
toot.
It?
Yeah. You say poot? What about toot?
I like toot. Poot toot. Makes me worried. I'll say toot. If you could go back to toot. Poot. Yeah.
Did you say poot makes me worried?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
That's fair.
Okay.
No, but I'll tell you right now, okay? There is no secret thing that she did. I'm telling you. And if I'm wrong, I'll find out. I'll say I'm wrong. Just like we did way back in episode 2 when they showed us that the lady gave the crown to Michael and we said, whoopsie, we made fun of him for a crown that he didn't pick out. When he was sitting there, it became so clear to me that this guy has such an ego.
Oh,
that, and not that that's a shocker, but he believes that saying, you know, she's just not my type, or any, he thinks that's detrimental. Do you know what I mean? He thinks like,
he
thinks his like word his holds approval. So much. Yes, there's the word. He thinks it holds so much water. That to me is the vibe because going back and forth and them even saying, you really think that whatever you have to say is going to be at one point, what did he say? He has enough to ruin her life. And I just think this guy is so full of himself and he thinks he's so perfect that her having a bad day or her pulling down the shower curtain and being like, what are you doing in there? Or her cuddling him so hard that he almost smothered. I mean, the guy's so dramatic, right? Remember at one point on After Party, he said she tried to smother him and then we found out she just wanted to cuddle. So he's so dramatic and so full of himself that is to me what the quote unquote big secret is. It's just stuff that he could have just said to her and said, this is why we're not going to work. I respect you. I want to be your friend. And he thinks, boy, God, it would just hurt her so much to hear this and that. Like he's so full of himself. That's my theory.
I like that a lot. And I want to add to that because I think you're totally right. I think it's all ego. I think he thinks he is fucking just top dog. And to add to that, I think when Emily called him out and said, I'm a light in a room and I am the life of the party and you have none of those characteristics and you don't like it. I think he's not used to not being the belle of the ball or the one of I used to have a joke about that. Like, you make me just want to be the less shitty one of the two of us. I think he's not used to being second fiddle to anybody. I don't think he thinks he belongs in that spot. And I think he couldn't get out of the shadow of her a little bit. And I think that the fact that when they flat out asked him, like, so what were some of the things? He's like, she just like said she hates everything and she's negative and like, she said something not nice about our friend's vows. I was like, are you, this is, dude, you had time to prepare for this. This is what you're coming with? That to me was crazy.
I agree with you. I thought the exact same thing. I thought, is he seriously repeating the only thing he can come up with as her being negative was that she said even. That she thought that Michael and Chloe's vows were kind of vanilla. And he's like, our friend's vows. I'm like, you just met Chloe that day. I mean, what is wrong with you? It was so clear at that point that he had no leg to stand on. And I guess that's why I really just thought this guy, he's got nothing here. He's got no evidence. He's got no big thing that happened. He's just so full of himself that he thinks he knows better or is better than her. And God forbid if he says whatever it is on his mind, it's going to ruin her. It's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've said this in the past about people, but he really has no salt, no pepper. He just doesn't have much to say. I couldn't tell you one thing about the guy other than divorce is not an option. And he was wrong about that too. I don't know. To the whole ego thing, do you think that he did come on here to get chicks? In like an Instagram following, and he thinks he's like hot and too cool for school. Because I think I thought maybe he really did want a marriage, but now I don't think so.
But I can't. I have no idea. I don't. He doesn't strike me as the type who is trying to get an Instagram following. But I could totally be wrong. He just seems so. Yeah, bland boring. To me. Yeah, and so I don't know, but he is one person. I would really like to know why he came on this show because it doesn't add up to me. It doesn't make any sense. He did not seem he doesn't seem open-minded enough to do the show. I know he did it, but he did it in a very poor way. So I don't think he's open-minded enough to accept someone else that isn't this cookie cutter thing that he was looking for in the first place. And anything that isn't that is detrimental to them, right? Anything that isn't this vision that he had in his mind. I've never wanted to rip my tits off and throw them in a microwave more than I did when they were going back and forth. And I was so proud, weird to say proud, but I was of Emily with that comment that you brought up earlier that when she said I am a good person. Well, she didn't say that. She didn't pull the Alyssa, but she basically was like, you don't have things in you that I have and it bothers you. And I think she's totally right about that. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Pia was, when Pia said, are you, you see yourself being defensive here. And he said, don't you see the attack? And she said, no, I mean, she wasn't attacked. I mean, she came to say what she wanted to say, but she was not attacking him.
Mm-mm. No. And I love, it's rare. And not because I think I'm not saying this negative about Pastor Cal, but for him, when he was like, I gotta just say something. And he goes, I gotta call BS. When he said that, and then Pia, like less than 1 second later, was like, thank you. I mean, my ass cheeks were so clenched because we've said it seasons ago. Like you said it, the funniest thing in the world. Like when Pastor Kel takes his glasses off, you just know how disappointed he is. I mean, him calling something BS was that topped that. And Brennan just sits there and takes it kind of too, which I don't think he would have if Pastor Kel wasn't there. Because he always snapped back at Pia. I think he's got a thing with women, but that's my own. That's my own thing.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Because he even did this time. He goes, "Yeah, do you see me being attacked?" But when Cal was like, "Hey, bud, I smell a rat here." He just went. He just kind of sat there. And I'll tell you what. There was another thing that he said. That the fact I didn't just run down the street naked screaming and end up in a mental institution. When he said that because Emily brought up how he told her his red flag, it was her being negative, which again, we all know is not the case. But how he finally all of a sudden decided on the day before decision day to tell her that. And he never gave her an opportunity to change certain words if those were bothering him, whatever. And he said he protected her from harsh words that would be detrimental. He used that word. And then he said he wanted to be, oh my God, I'm getting so mad. I'm getting so mad right now. He said he wanted to be effective so she could grow from it.
Oh, yuck. I don't know how I missed that. That is disgusting.
It's just, you want her to grow from you? That's when it all clicked for me that he's so egotistical, because I couldn't believe it. When he said that, the way I would have jumped off that couch and put my hands around his throat ended up in the holding cell.
I would have jumped on you and then smothered you trying to get to him.
I couldn't take it. I was surprised, honestly, that Pia and Emily didn't just jump up and run out the back door and just like, we're out of here. Like, fuck this. Because it was... That to me, I don't know what it was, but that one sentence just basically clicked it all for me when he said he wanted to be effective so she could grow from it. From day one, he decided his job was to teach Emily how to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anything beyond
he offers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And anything beyond what he believes is right is detrimental and could ruin you.
I mean, he is such a varsity bullshitter. The fact that he came in to this, like he sat down on the couch and just tears into, become a lot more resilient. I used to run at the slightest red flag or slightest inconvenience. And, you know, but I really gave it my all. And literally Emily's like, everything you just said is exactly what you did. It's like we always kind of kid, but I truly wonder, do they realize that that there's footage, like that we're going to see this? You can't just tell the narrative of the story that you want to be told. Like, we're going to see that you're absolutely fucking full of horseshit.
Right. In fact, because then when she brought up that he said he has enough to ruin her life, and then he goes, well, she told me she wants to go to war with me. And Emily said, it's on FaceTime. Like, they were recording this. So yeah, I really want it. I needed a cutaway then, because could I see Emily saying, I want to go to war with you? 100%. I could totally see her saying that in an emotional moment. But do I think she did because she said she didn't? I actually believe her. I believe her over him every time at this point, especially because we've seen how full of it he is and how full of it he is to himself. He doesn't, you know, see his own BS.
You know how ego-wise, the fact also that he would dare say to her that he saved her life. I mean, I think you're right. I think I think he has, you know, he sees himself as like a deity. Like he thinks he's a little bit more important than he is. And I could literally give mouth to mouth to a lifeless body and bring them back, and I wouldn't say I saved your life. I would just be like, I just happen to be here, you know, sorry, don't look at me. But so, I mean, he is just a flaming, gaping asshole.
Flaming, gaping a-hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what was it? Pia even said at one point, I'm giving you a chance here to redeem yourself. Do you see the emotional disrespect you had for this girl? And that's another thing we have to remember is, even though there were really times that we were all screaming, where are the experts? From what I understand, at least, I'm pretty sure they've seen the majority of the footage, probably more than what we've seen. Right.
Right.
So to me, the reaction of all three of them to Brennan, I mean, I think it was Pepper at the end that was like, hey, if you need some, you know, support after this, let me know. Kind of like, yeah, you know, if you're, because if you hear two girls ripping you on a podcast and you want to talk about it, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's, and listen, they should always offer their support to the people on this, on all these shows, because we, I understand that they've been put through it in more ways than just from, and I'm not talking about from us or listeners, but like just all the whole thing. So, but just their reaction to him and the way they spoke to Emily, the way basically Cal said, don't ever let anyone make you, you know, feel like you're less than, and the way Pia said, I'm just so proud of you. And, you know, and all it, to me, that tells you all you need to know about what happened.
Yeah.
Right. It's, we're not missing. I don't believe anyway. And listen, who knows what they're going to throw at us next week and the week after, and especially at the reunion. But I don't think that anyone can really argue that, that there was one person that really, I mean, Emily, even at the end, what did she came over and she hugged him and took accountability for, no, she said she knows she wasn't perfect. Well, of course she wasn't perfect. I mean, nobody is going to be in this kind of process. It's the way that you get treated by the other person when you're having those moments that is sort of going to be the make or break for the couple as it is.
Yeah. I have a lot more to say. I'm feeling a little bit, maybe I shouldn't have called him a flaming, gaping asshole. He was acting like one. I'm starting to feel bad about that because I shouldn't be a name caller, but I just think he could have done a much better job.
I think he could have done a much better job. And listen, I'm sure if there's any sort of self-awareness in him, he looked a little beaten down by the end of this, because I think he thought he was going to go in and maybe the experts, I mean, I have no idea what he thought, but maybe that everyone would go, yeah, it just didn't work. And Emily, maybe you were too this and blah, blah, blah. And instead, I mean, they all basically called him on it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Emily picked up on that. I mean, she's a very sensitive person. And, you know, sensitive to others, you can tell, right? So she, that I think that's why at the end, when they met up again, she said, look, I'm going to come over here. I want you to hear me. You know, I want to say that I know that there's, I know I wasn't perfect, but I don't think she ever claimed to be either. I certainly don't think she pretended to be perfect throughout this, but she did try to make this work over and over when it was already broken. And he kind of continued to beat her down in that process emotionally. And I think that's sort of at the end of the day what the biggest problem is that he did.
100%. You think of what a scrappy girl she is to keep getting up. One thing, I mean, I would have probably broken my contract after the hair extensions thing on the honeymoon. And she, talk about a trooper. That's all.
When she said, I'm just going to try to learn as much as I can from this and just go back to Emily Party of One, I was like, I'll go to that party, girl.
Yes. Same.
Yeah. I don't know. That one was a lot, but I think I do feel like she handled it with, less anger than I probably would have had at that point, especially after the double date thing and the way he was like rude to her on FaceTime when she called him and acted like she didn't know what she was talking about and just all that stuff. I think she went in calm, cool, and collected for the circumstances, I think.
Yeah. I would have needed at least a 0.5, but Xanax.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know. I speak Xanax. I knew what you meant by the 0.5. Mm-hmm. Girl, you never have to explain mm-hmm. that one to me. Yes, there's so much more to say. Tons. There's a lot more happened, especially after they all ended up getting together too. So we will let you guys go from here. We will head over to Patreon. We would love to let you keep hearing us talk.
Yeah.
We'd love that for you. So come over to Patreon. It's only $7 a month. There's so much, so much, so much content. And we will see you there. If not, see you next Thursday. Don't forget, we are going to be doing the post-decision day episodes. Obviously, we still have a Michael and Chloe decision day, which we're very excited about. Boy, did he come up with some nice lines tonight.
Yeah, he did.
And in his quick appearance. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk about how those two just look like deer in headlights when they walked into that shit storm.
It was so, like scared straight for Married at First Sight.
Seriously. Okay, so much more to say. Please join us on Patreon. And if not, we'll see you next Thursday. Post-Decision Day app and plus our thoughts on Love is Blind, the weddings and all and whatnot. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?